Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Game shows, reality shows, beauty pageants, all in a career's work with today's guest. The Weakest Link and Lingo are among past credits. The current priority, the Singing Bee, and your chance to dance on country music television. Executive producer Phil Durin joins me next. Also ahead, Disney and Time Warner Cable reach a big deal, while U-verse and Hallmark Channel don't. And time marches on Sunday night, thanks to our show to know. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Great to have you aboard on this first Friday of September, right before the Labor Day weekend. Trust you're off to a great start with that. It is 84 degrees here in New York. No rain, no big wind out of Hurricane Irma, which as we speak is moving north-northwest around 20, 21 miles an hour. And hopefully the folks in southern Massachusetts and New England will not have the kind of situation that the folks in North Carolina did overnight and early this morning. We're happy you're with us, and if you have a question or comment for our guests in the half hour or so ahead, give us a call at 1-646-652-2906. That's 1-646-652-2906. That's the number to dial worldwide or nationwide right here on Blog Talk Radio. And our chat room is open for you as well to pop a question or comment in. So scroll down the screen, click into the room, put your question or comment up. Sooner you do, sooner we address it. Phil Durin will join us live from Los Angeles momentarily, but right now, news notes. Disney and Time Warner Cable avoid a channel blackout of, you could say, Hurricane Earl size proportion by making a new carriage agreement. The previous deal covering ABC, ESPN, ABC's affiliates, and other Disney-owned channels among Time Warner's 14 million-plus customers nationally expired at midnight Thursday morning. But both sides went overtime in their negotiations, ultimately reaching a deal. Financial terms of this multi-year agreement were not revealed. The deal includes creation of ESPN Goal Line, a highlights network of college football similar in operation to the NFL Red Zone channel. Goal Line may start on some Time Warner Cable systems tomorrow, running on Saturdays through the college football season in late November. A similar service for college basketball is in development. It's known as Buzzer Beater. Separately, AT&T's 2.5 million U-verse customers remain unable to watch Hallmark Channel and Hallmark Movie Channel, thanks to a carriage blackout underway since Wednesday morning. Both sides are not talking. But talking right now, live from Los Angeles, the executive producer of such programs as The Weakest Link on NBC, Lingo on GSN, which is still on reruns in weekday afternoons, and currently your chance to dance in the Singing Bee on country music television, Phil Durin. Phil, great to have you with us.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
I saw the country music television schedule on their website before doing this, and guess what? It's like all your night. You've got your shows on the entire night from 7 to midnight. What do you think about that? Or 8 p.m. to midnight, excuse me.
I think it's very cool. I'm very lucky. You know, they're a great partner. It's a great family audience, and it's always a compliment if they give you a couple of shows back-to-back. I'm thrilled.
Is that the first time in your career that's happened?
You know, I think it has. I mean, I actually said so when you know, we brought them Singing Bee after it ran on NBC, and Singing Bee ultimately is a show that's been on in 32 countries. It became a pretty big international music game show, and then we brought it to CMT. They love it. It became their number one original show. And then when we brought to them this dance show, which is an original show that just launched about 5 weeks ago, it was kind of cool to have both of them running back-to-back, and it is definitely the first time I've had 2 hours of original programming back-to-back anywhere. It's fun.
And we should point out going forward that your chance to dance is on at 8 and 9 o'clock tonight, two episodes, and then two episodes of Singing Bee at 10 p.m. and 11 p.m. tonight on Country Music Television. Why did you decide to keep Singing Bee going? It was on NBC in 2007. It had a very interesting run while there. Why did you decide to revive it and bring it to Country Music TV?
Well, the interesting thing about Singing Bee for us was we always loved, you know, we just loved the show. When it went on NBC in 2007, it launched to such a huge number, and I still think our launch on NBC 5 years ago is still the highest summer launch they've had in the last 10 years. And we won most of our time period. I think we did 19 episodes. I think we won our time period 17 times. But for whatever reason, it still kind of escapes me. They didn't renew it, and we were a time period winner. And, you know, we've done shows, you know, in some countries around the world, there have been 200-300 episodes of the show. Anyway, we always knew we had something that we thought was kind of special, kind of fun. The viewers really liked it. We never really thought it was a hard, meant to be a hard game. we think of it more as a party, just kind of a music entertainment show. So we started having conversations with several outlets, and there was more than one that wanted it, I will tell you. But CMT stepped up fast, stepped up first, and we closed the deal there. And we've done 30 episodes for them already, and everyone has been the highest-rated show on the network. So we're happy to be there with them. And, you know, when you think country music television, my friends and family, I'm a guy from New York. And, you know, it's not the first thing that necessarily would come to mind. But we were able to adapt the show. We have an incredible host, a woman named Melissa Peterman, who was on the Reba show. And she was very well known to the CMT viewers. And we put a new band together. We put a new group of singers. We've been very fortunate over there at CMT. And, you know, when I mentioned that we put a new band together, all the musicians and all the tracks that we do on CMT were recorded and pre-recorded in many instances by some of the musicians who recorded the original songs in the first place. So we have a lot of street cred in Nashville.
And lo and behold, Melissa, in a few months, about to get the first sitcom that country music television is doing.
Exactly right. I forgot what it's called, and I'm so happy for it. I'm so proud of her. She's wonderful. She's funny. People just love being around her. She's quick. And I know they've been building at CMT, Country Music Television, they've been building a big brand around her. She's almost the face of the network. And between her sitcom, between our show, I know she did some red carpets recently. She's been out on tour doing comedy. I think a lot more people start to pay attention to Melissa Peterman.
Is there any difference between doing the Singing Bee for NBC versus doing the show for Country Music Television in terms of how the network deals with you?
Well, the big difference, let's be honest, NBC is a big primetime broadcast network, and the budgets are a lot different in broadcast than they are in cable. But with a smaller budget, it forced us to be that much more creative. And what I think we did at CMT with the Singing Bee, we focused on what made the show work. We created a solid format. When it was on NBC, it was more of, sometimes there'd be this round and sometimes there'd be that round, but here at CMT it's one. We know what each round is. It's a smaller audience, more intimate experience. From a CMT standpoint, the big note was obviously we had to put music in that was more appropriate for their audience. So we have more country music, you know, country rock, country pop, than certainly I would have put on NBC. But we definitely do a blend. You know, so we'll have pop music and rock music and contemporary non-country, I would call it. So we have a nice blend. And I think that's also helped CMT do a little broadening of their audience, too. But they're great to deal with. The executives I work with over at CMT, especially a woman named Claire McCabe, who's an incredible woman, an incredible executive, and it's a great partnership. So it's one of the highlights of my career working with those guys.
And in fact, country music television has really dived into the game show genre, which has been a big part of your career. In addition to running your two shows, and we'll get to your chance to dance in a moment, they also run Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader in places in when it's not in syndication. And they're also going to run Don't Forget the Lyrics, the new five-day-a-week version of the show coming on this fall. And ironically, when Singing Bee first came out, there was talk that Singing Bee came out, it did come out around the same time as Fox did Don't Forget the Lyrics, initially in primetime with Wayne Brady as the host. So there was sort of this this race to go, who's on first.
Yeah, we got on the air 3 days before him. We got on NBC, our show was on the air before Don't Forget the Lyrics, by 3 days.
And I'm just curious what you think about the fact that CMT has gone very game show heavy.
Well, I guess if you talk to them, they would argue that they don't really think they're game show heavy. When I talk to them, what they like about our shows, and I think what they like, well, yes, Fifth Grade is a game. It's family entertainment, and I think for them that's the brand, you know. I think at least the information that I have is that they're not really game show heavy. They don't think of my two shows really as game shows. They think of them as entertainment shows. I bet they'll think the same as Lyrics, which, we'll see how that does. And, I think it's part of the broadcast diet. to have these kind of entertainment shows. If it was pure game, like, I don't think you're going to see a quiz show, a hard and fast quiz show without a twist on CMZ. I mean, I know there's, you know, questions on Fifth Grader, but I don't know. They have a lot of things. They're still, you know, when they do their launching of their sitcoms, that's going to be a brand changer for them as well. You know, they've never done original sitcoms before, and I think they're all very excited about it. I know that's what they talk about every day, about their sitcoms.
Executive producer Phil Guerin, whose shows on country music television, both Your Chance to Dance and The Singing Bee, are on tonight in prime time on that network. Our guest right now from Tomorrow We Televise here on Blog Talk Radio. He is in Los Angeles. I'm in New York. Thank you for joining us. If you have a question or comment, get on the line, 1-646-652-2906. That's 1-646-652-2906. We're getting to our chat room. Welcome guests 1208 and 1272. If you have a question or comment, don't keep it to yourself. Get into that room. Pop it in there. Sooner you do, sooner we address it. Now, Your Chance to Dance is quite entertaining, and for those people who think, well, it's just another Dancing with the Stars, and so you think you can dance, this one is quite differentiated.
It's exactly nothing like those shows, except there's dancing and there's music. What we're so excited about, Your Chance to Dance, it's a celebration of ordinary people having a good time dancing, tributes to their favorite dance routines. And so there is no professionals. We're not looking for professional dancers. It's not an arc series. You know, the same people don't come in week after week trying to win the big championship after the whole season. No, it's every episode. There's five different songs, five different performances, homemade performances, and we give them a little help with some choreography to kind of step up their game. We give them some costumes and some sets, and we let these people live out a fantasy on stage. You know, we've had people dancing to a whole host of songs from Reba and Trace Atkins, but we've done songs from the movie Grease. We had some people imitating John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. We've got coming up Cyndi Lauper. We have these wonderful women from Pasadena, these six women in their 60s, all doing their interpretation of Girls Just Want to Have Fun. It's so much fun to watch. We've had people doing Rihanna's Umbrella. We've had Pussycat Dolls. We've had these two girls imitating the one video, I'm forgetting the name, that Christopher Walken did many years ago. It's just so much fun to watch. And the music range that we have on the show is everything from Ice Ice Baby and Vanilla Ice all the way to Laura Bell Bundy, who's a big country star right now and from Broadway. You guys may remember her. And the range is fun. The thing is a party. And because they're all regular people, it's easy to identify. What happens is the way the show works is people send in their own homemade, you know, their videos. You kind of see them all over the Internet right now. They send in their own tribute, their own homemade video of themselves dancing to something. Then we pick one that we like. We show a little montage of those clips. We pick the one that we want to work with, bring them into our studio, meet them on stage. We give them a little chance to work with some professional Hollywood choreographers. We had a great team of about 16 top choreographers. And then they're transformed on stage, and then they perform in front of a studio audience. The studio audience gives them an Olympic score, and at the end of the show, the score with the team with the highest score wins $10,000 and Your Chance to Dance medals. And they've had a great time. And that's really what I love about this show.
What surprised you about the audience reaction to that show? How they like the contestants, how they like the choreography they're getting?
Well, I think everybody who watches the show is really enjoying it. We're starting to sell the format around the world right now. We're selling it internationally. And the feedback we get from everybody is it's not just a dance show, it's a party, and it's an entertainment. And what you do is you see everything from kids to old folks. We have solos, duos, trios, families, and friends. So you never know what you're going to see. And I defy anybody to watch the show without being entertained and have a smile on their face.
You've had a very good career, particularly with game shows. Why do you think your career has sort of been leaning toward that and other types of reality shows as opposed to doing dramas and sitcoms and, you know, other genres?
Well, you know, I started my career, I was going to be in the movie business, and that's what I was doing when I still lived in New York. I'm a New Yorker, and I miss it, and I love New York. I came out to California to write one-hour dramas and feature films, but because I had worked on a show, called Remote Control, back in the day at MTV. It was their first formatted show. It was a game show. It was a comedy show. That kind of opened the doors, and it set me down a different path. So rather than doing the scripted business, I found myself in the game and entertainment business. I was able to do all kinds of game shows over the years. And, I mean, what I like to do is make sure I'm entertaining people, and I like my shows to have a sense of fun. I'm not really in the business of working on shows that are mean-spirited. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm not trying to expose anything to anybody. I grew up watching TV, loving the fact that it was fun. And so I think in the TV diet, there's nothing wrong with having a little, you know, half hour, an hour of escape. And I like producing escapist television.
Looking back over Remote Control, and I used to watch the show live in person anytime it was being taped in New York, like on a Friday afternoon, and I could get off from work early at Cablevision Magazine. We'd go over to the studio and catch it. I was always amazed by how raucous that studio audience was and how many people ended up, you know, making names themselves out of that show. Ken Ober, the host, Colin Quinn, Carrie Wooher, you know, and so on and so forth. Looking back over that experience, why do you think that show, you know, took off the way it did?
We also had Ben Stiller on the staff, Adam Sandler, Dennis Leary. They did their time on the staff as well.
Adam Sandler playing the stud boy.
Yeah. I think what was great about it was a certain time. You know, it was that mid-'80s, mid to late '80s in New York. It was the earliest, you know, it was the dawn of MTV. It was just a different time, and it was the fun that you saw on the screen was exactly the fun that you had there in the studio. And it was a little chaotic, but I think that's also part of the charm. And I've always believed we should bring back Remote Control. I don't own it. MTV owns it, and I've always told them, let's bring Remote Control back. It's a great launching pad for a lot of different things, a lot of comedy game that followed. We broke a lot of ground writing the material back then that people have kind of used for the last 20, 30 years.
It's like a two-sided game show. You can either enjoy it as a game or as a spoof of game shows and the whole television genre.
Absolutely. And there was comedy sketches that we would do, and it was, you know, it was just a lot of fun to do.
Phil Gurren, the executive producer of Your Chance to Dance, got my tongue tied a second. Apologize for that. Your Chance to Dance and the Singing Bee on Country Music Television tonight from 8 to midnight on that network. Our guest on Tomorrow We Televise, Simon Applebaum, here with you live from New York. We want to hear from you, so dial in at 1-646-652-2906 on this first Friday of September, 2010 over for the Labor Day holiday weekend, or get into our chat room. Quite a few people in that room, so pop your question or comment in there. Want to hear from you, and the sooner you do, the sooner we address it. Two of your game shows have become very notorious in different ways. One, The Weakest Link on NBC, the other, Lingo, which is the longest-running show that GSN's had. Let's talk Weakest Link first. That show ran a year on NBC, a year and a half in syndication. Looking back over it now, what do you think about that experience?
Well, for me personally, Weakest Link was one of the highlights of my life, the highlights of my career. It helped change my career, change my business. But I loved the show. I loved what Ann Robinson was able to do in prime time. Then we had George Gray in syndication. Ann is a great character. She's still doing Weakest Link for the BBC in the UK. It's still on the air in original episodes. I think sometime a year or so ago they crossed 1,000 episodes. And what was fun about the show was she was playing a character. She was playing a character that, quite honestly, after we finished being on the air, Simon Cowell kind of took up the mantle as the same character. You know, I always say that Simon took Ann Robinson's act because she clearly was playing a character. But she was a journalist in the UK, really smart, and it was fun to do that show because you never knew what was going to come out of her mouth. It was really funny. It was a fast-paced show. And it was very successful for NBC. And, you know, I guess the challenge was that they started running it too many times during the course of a week. My philosophy is always leave the audience wanting more. Don't overdo it. You know, we did almost 400 episodes of Weakest Link but between prime time and daytime. It was a nice run. A lot of fun to do. Great staff members, a lot of people who we put together on the writing staff and doing the contestant search and all that. They've gone on to work on pretty much every other game that you've seen in the last 8-9 years.
Any thoughts about why it didn't run longer in terms of years, why it didn't have like a 3-year, 4-year run?
Well, I do think it's because I think the network probably ran it too much and burned it out, burned the audience's appetite for it out. Had we stayed on once a week, we could have been on 3 or 4 years. But maybe the philosophy of a game show, or philosophy of some of these shows, is get them while they're hot, air them as much as you possibly can, let them burn brightly, and then like a firecracker, let them fade, and then what's the next one? I don't think necessarily the mindset, the The same thing happened to Millionaire. The same thing happened to Deal or No Deal. Lots and lots of episodes. They're successful. And then when they run their course, when the audience is tired of them, let them go work in daytime in syndication or work in cable, and then bring on something new. I think that's just the model. I don't think the model of a sitcom, you know, where sitcoms and dramas will run 3, 4, 5, 7, 10 years, I don't see that being the network appetite for a game show, because there's always going to be that desire to create something new.
Okay.
And, Phil?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there we go. One show that did run quite a bit long, in fact, 6 years, was Lingo, which was the revival of a show that was in syndication for a year in the 80s. Maybe you don't remember it, but it was hosted by the son of former President Ronald Reagan, Michael Reagan. Were you surprised at how long that show ran, and do you still get people saying, please bring back Lingo, because it's still being rerun endlessly on GSN?
I get more people telling me to bring back Lingo than anything I've ever worked on in my life. People love Lingo, and when we got the rights to Lingo, it was on the air in the Netherlands, and some friends of mine were producing it over there, and I saw this little word game, and I thought, this is so much fun. It's compelling. It's just one of those play-along things, and a good game has to be more than anything. You want to play it. And the second I were to tell you, all right, Simon, here's five-letter word. It begins with an A. You're playing. You're guessing already that you're going to start figuring out a five-letter word that begins with an A. So it's kind of, you can't help it. You're compelled to do it. So when we convinced GSN to take it, they didn't even want the show at the beginning. I always talk about this. They didn't want it. So we produced the first 20 episodes on the Dutch set outside of Amsterdam. And I gave it to GSN as a loss leader. I said, here, I'll give you these 20 episodes for free. If it works and it reaches a certain market share, you got to order more and then make me whole. If it didn't work, I would have lost all my money. But it did work. And my partner and I, you know, the guy who I was producing it with at the time, we got our money back. It became an instant hit after those first 20. It with no promotion, it was a big hit, so they kept ordering it. They canceled it once. I convinced them to bring it back. We did a new set. We got our co-host in there. We had Shandy Finnessy, who was a former Miss USA, who I'd worked with, and I knew her from that. And the audiences loved Chuck Woolery. They loved the game. It still works. It still rates highly for them, even though they've been rerunning them for a long time now. There's a couple of board games. There's a board game out that we're out selling. And you just never know. I always believe good things will, if you believe in them, you can get them back on the air. I do know that the viewers at GSN love it. And you never know. Maybe we'll see Lingo back one of these days.
I'd love to see it come back. I really enjoyed the show. The initial iteration and the show as it was for the last, you know, for 5 or 6 years. I met Chuck Woolery when he was in New York. We actually played Lingo, and it was a lot of fun. So I'd love to see it come back. It's a great educational game, too. It's a great way for kids to learn words.
Well, it is, but beyond that, we also have so many ideas of how to expand out of the traditional version of Lingo. But, you know, I always say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But there's certain things we'd like to do. So if anybody's listening, send some notes into GSN. Let's get Lingo back.
What's some of the future projects on your plate now?
Well, I just finished doing, I produced for the last 8 years, the Miss Universe and Miss USA pageants with NBC and with Donald Trump. I just literally finished that 2 weeks ago. And it was exciting. It was a lot of fun. You know, we get to travel the world, although this time we did it in Las Vegas. And it was fun. Vegas is a great city. You know, over the years we've been able to go to Vietnam and Thailand and Ecuador and Panama. We don't know where we're going to do it again next year. We are currently negotiating. We're about to go into 5 brand new pilots, network cable. We have a show we're doing in the UK. We have a show we have on the air in France. We have a show that's going to get launched in Germany, and those shows we'll bring over here. I mean, as an independent television producer, and my company is totally independent, all you got to do is fight the fight, try to create new things, keep at it, and so that's what I'm trying to do. And we're very, 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 very busy.
What do you like, Phil, about being independent, you know, running your own ship? And then one more question before we go. If there was a game show, whether from Mark Goodson, Bill Tomlin, or Bob Stewart, or whoever, that you would love to revive and give your own spin, what would that be?
I'll answer that one first. My favorite game, besides my own, of course, my favorite game when I was a kid was always Pyramid. But they try it all the time, and maybe they just haven't been able to crack it. But the $10,000 pyramid, the $20,000 pyramid, there's been revivals. I always just love that game. I just love playing it. And I don't. I won't be able to get the rights because it's owned by some other company. But
by Sony, yeah.
Yeah, that's my favorite. I have to admit, that is my favorite. Wouldn't mind creating another show like Remote Control because I think there's an appetite for that. You know, I also did Double Dare when that was on Nickelodeon, and some people may remember that. Double Dare was a lot of fun because I like the physicality of it. You know, we have the rights to an old show that we're trying to bring back, which is a show called Money Maze. We've been working on bringing Money Maze back. That aired in daytime at ABC once. George Clooney's father was the host.
On ABC with Nick Clooney as the host.
We were trying to.
I remember it was produced in New York when it was on.
Exactly. So I love that show. We've reinvented that. And we also have the rights to another title you probably remember. It was Truth or Consequences, which ran for 35 years in the United States. And we are working on bringing that back as a revival. So I love those two shows, and we'll see what happens. But we have some other brand new ones that hopefully in 3 to 4 months we'll be talking about again when they're on television.
And what do you like about being independent, you know, running your own ship, being your own person?
Well, we all have a boss. I have a wife who's my boss, but more than that, you know, it's a joke when you say you're running your own ship. I have ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, CMT, MTV, all the cable networks, GSN, you know, those are my bosses. The only thing is no one is checking when I come into the office in the morning and when I leave at night. So the difference is where my staff has a full-time job. I'm an executive producer with my own company. I'm a freelancer. So I'm actually here earlier, and I leave later because I have to make sure I'm out creating and selling all the time. It actually is fun, but it's harder when you work for yourself.
You can catch the Singing Bee and Your Chance to Dance tonight between 8 and midnight on Country Music Television. Check your local listings for where CMT is available in your area. Your Chance to Dance will be on at 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock, two separate episodes at Eastern Pacific Time. Singing Bee at 10 p.m. and 11 p.m. For more details, go to www.cmt.com. It's www.cmt.com. And Ringo is on weekday afternoons, also during the weekends, on Game Show Network, GSN. For more details about that, gsn.com. Bill Gurin, executive producer, thank you for joining us. A pleasure. We'd love to have you back, either when you have the new shows on or when you're doing the Miss USA and Miss Universe tag. It's a pleasure to have you on. Have a wonderful Labor Day weekend, and all the best with your future projects.
You too. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Take care. Bill Gurin, executive producer of The Singing Bee and Your Chance to Dance on Country Music Television, joining us live from Los Angeles. This is Tomorrow Will Be Televised, and we are the internet radio show that covers the world of television. Thank you for joining us on this first Friday of September 2010. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York, and we're on every Monday and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio. We won't be with you this coming Monday because of Labor Day. We hope you have a great holiday weekend. Make the most of it, but we will be with you on Tuesday of next week. Same time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And joining us, we'll have a preview of Stand Up to Cancer, Round 2, which happens a week from tonight on ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, and many cable networks. Kathleen Lobb, the co-founder of Stand Up to Cancer, will join us live. And then, find out about an effort to keep daytime dramas like One Life to Live and General Hospital and Young and the Restless on the air. In the last couple of years, a number of key daytime dramas have had gone bye-bye from broadcast television. Guiding Light last September on CBS, and then this September, As the World Turns, is entering its last month on that network, both long-running shows. We'll hear from the people behind Save Our Soaps 2010. That's Save Our Soaps 2010. Susan O'Connor, the co-administrator of that venture, will join us, and we may have her other colleague in that project as well. And then next Friday, don't know yet who our guest will be. We'll tell you on Tuesday, hopefully, about that. But I can tell you that on September 13th, week from Monday, we hope to be with you live from the New York Hilton, where Diversity Week will be returning all week long. And among our guests, I'm proud to tell you that the acclaimed and wonderful comedian and episodic television writer and director David Steinberg will be one of our guests. He is making a move for the first time into daytime television with Hallmark Channel's brand-new Martha Stewart talk show, Whatever, with Alexis and Jennifer. He's the executive producer. That day, I believe, it's going to premiere on September 13th. We'll have him live on Tomorrow We Televise, and that will be a lot of fun, along with a lot of other things, hopefully live from the New York Hilton during Diversity Week. And that's just some of what we're up to this month here on the program. So stay with us and make us a regular habit. And when we come back, We'll tell you about our upcoming shows, about our homepage and podcast, and we'll have our show to know, which is The March of Time, premiering for the first time ever on television Sunday on Turner Classic Movies. But right now, at the bottom of the hour, let's pause for web identification. You are listening to the sound domain of the Internet, www.blogtalkradio.com, more than 7 million listeners around the world and growing. It's your home for Suspense Radio, all about the world of suspense, science fiction, and horror fiction. Our guest, Fox News Channel legal analyst Lise Wales, will be around. She's also a best-selling author, and she'll be joining the gang from Suspense Radio tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back to Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York. Thanks for rejoining us. Hope you're off to a great start with your Labor Day holiday weekend. And if everybody's listening to us in the areas where Hurricane Earl may hit later today or tonight, please don't take this storm for granted, even though it's now a Category 1 storm. Winds are less than 100 miles per hour. It's moving to the north-northwest at 20 miles per hour or so. Don't take chances. If you need to move inland, please do. If you need to stock up on emergency supplies, please do. We're particularly talking about the folks in southern Massachusetts, the Boston area, and southern Maine. Please, don't take chances. And, of course, stay in touch with local authorities, as well as local news sources on broadcast television, cable networks like News 12 Long Island, as well as News 12 Connecticut, New England Cable News, and the Weather Channel. So, again, please stay in touch and know what to do. We want you to have a great, safe Labor Day weekend. And after Hurricane Earl passes, that's what will be the case this Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And now it's time for A Show to Know. It's our ongoing feature where we highlight programs that we think you want to know about. We think you'd be interested in catching them, and you wouldn't know about them otherwise because they're either not well marketed, promoted, publicized, or they've fallen under the radar screen of the nation's television critics and writers. And that's the latter with what's happening Sunday night at 8 o'clock on Turner Classic Movies. In the 1930s, in fact, 75 years ago this year, a very unique situation happened in the movie world. The first newsreel to do something different premiered, The March of Time. You might know the famous slogan, Time Marches On. Well, it came from that wonderful newsreel series that went from 1935 to 1951. And unlike the regular newsreels of the day, The March of Time was ambitious. It was innovative and was invented, particularly for its dramatic recreations of famous events. It was done by a wonderful photographer and producer-director named Louis de Rochemont in association with Time and Life magazine. It ran for 16 years in the movies, then it ran on television from 1951 to 1967. And for the first time since the original movie run, The March of Time is getting a major play on national television Sunday night at 8 o'clock on Turner Classic Movies. Some of the best episodes of March of Time will be premiering, 8 episodes, in fact, hosted by TCM host Robert Osborne. In fact, a few days ago, there was a retrospective of the March of Time here in New York at the Museum of Modern Art, and Osborne was there, along with some of the people who had a hand in making or commenting on that series. It is a wonderful retrospective, and one that if you want to know about history in a very unique way, you do not want to miss. In particular, catch it at 8:30 for one of the best-known March of Time newsreels, Inside Nazi Germany. It was released in 1938, and for the first time, it showed the world what Adolf Hitler was like. A camera was smuggled into Germany, where Adolf Hitler was, and showed the Third Reich in a very unique perspective. It is a very chilling document. You might definitely don't want to miss it. Inside Nazi Germany, that will premiere at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time as part of this March of Time retrospective. If you want to see history in the making, presented in an innovative, unique way, catch The March of Time, first time on network television, Sunday night, 8 to 11 p.m. on Turner Classic Movies. It's 8 p.m. to midnight. It's, I believe it's 8 episodes, 8.5-hour newsreels on Turner Classic Movies back-to-back. Again, that's 8 p.m. to midnight this Sunday night on Turner Classic Movies. Check your local listings for where TCM is available in the area. For more details, TCM.com. I promise you, you will find it very worthwhile viewing. Time marches on. Coming up on Monday on Tomorrow Will Be Televised, actually Monday is Labor Day weekend, so we will not be with you Monday where we normally are. We will be with you on Tuesday. Again, coming up on Tuesday, we'll preview Stand Up to Cancer, which will be happening this next Friday night for an hour, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time over most broadcast networks and many cable networks. Kathleen Lobb, the co-founder of Stand Up to Cancer, will be our headline guest. And then find out about the effort to keep daytime dramas on the air, Save Ourselves 2010. Susan O'Connor, and perhaps her colleague, will join us. Then we'll have a show on Friday. And again, a week from Monday, we hope to be with you live from the New York Hilton for the start of Diversity Week. And among our guests, David Steinberg, the popular comedian, actor, director, writer, just everything in television. And he is the executive producer now of a new daytime series premiering on Hallmark Channel that day, Whatever, with Alexis and Jennifer, part of the Martha Stewart block, premiering in daytime on Hallmark Channel. And don't forget, if you want to catch up on episodes you missed, we invite you to check us out throughout the Labor Day holiday weekend. We're available for you 24/7 on our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/SimonApple04. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/SimonApple04. We're also available on podcasts. I'm thrilled to tell you that we have 5 new podcast download sites. You can pick up our show. You can download to any major mobile device from BlackBerry's to Microsoft Zoom. And they are blogdigger.com, thehardpodcafe.com, syndic8, that's syndic8.com, fluctu8, fluctu8.com, and blogexplosion.com. Welcome one and all to our growing family of podcast download sites. We now have 18 in the fold, along with TiVo, where we're featured podcasts, and we also have our special outreach with Cable in the Classroom. For more information about that, CIConline.org/podcast. That's CIConline.org/podcast. And we'd like to hear from you. What do you think about our show, our guests? What do you think we should have in the future in terms of guests and topics? What do you think about the world of television? And what's your ideas for our Show to Know segment? Email me at SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. Please enclose your name, where you're emailing from. If you have an idea for a Show to Know, give us the name of the show. The network it's on, a few cents about it. If we use your suggestion on the air, you get the credit. That's SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. Don't forget, take us along. Remember, we're available live break blog talk radio programming over the Labor Day holiday weekend, so please enjoy it. And don't forget, stay in touch with your local sources. If you're in the area of Hurricane Earl in southern Massachusetts, Boston area, southern Maine, New England, please stay in touch with your local authorities as well as local broadcasts and cable channels about what's going on so that you're safe. And after Hurricane Earl passes, you have a wonderful Labor Day holiday weekend. Again, our next show, Tuesday, same time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And once again, our email address, SimonApple04@Yahoo.com, SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. As always, we appreciate what you have to say, so go ahead and say it. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associates are Hilly LeWong and Matt Bader. Podcast distribution provided by Sonobite, words to your ears. For more, surf sonobite.com. Podcast director and theme music composer, Philip Salisbury. But tomorrow will be televised. I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a safe and wonderful Labor Day holiday weekend. We'll catch you Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.